What a strange gospel, eh? This parable in this gospel today reading is an apocalyptic parable. For you younger people that don't know what that word means, it means revealing. The gospel today reveals something about ourselves, and Jesus is saying something about ourselves. There's been a lot of apocalyptic films around. The most common one I remember is Armageddon, where they're trying to prevent this giant asteroid from killing and destroying the earth. One of the very first ones, though, was made in 1951, and it was called When Worlds Collide. When Worlds Collide. And it was a similar story that a planet, an errant planet, had gone, and it's going to crash into the earth, and they can tell it's coming. And they see it's coming, but unlike most of our modern science fiction stories, the Earth doesn't get saved. It gets destroyed. And what the story When Worlds Collide was about was not about the science fiction aspect of it, but it was about our own human nature. How do we behave when we know life's coming to an end? And in the story, you met all kinds of people from one spectrum to another. You had the deniers, who were saying, oh, it's just a hoax, they're trying to fool us, it's not going to happen, don't worry, folks. Then they had the dreamers who said, don't worry, something will happen that will prevent this from happening. Then they had the realists who said, okay, the world's coming to an end, let's party. Then they had the brave, the people that helped everybody to the very moment when the world was done. Our gospel today and the stories that Jesus is telling us is telling us the same story, when worlds collide. Because with Jesus' birth, the divine world and the earthly world collided. And this story today is for the spiritual deniers, the ones that say, it's a hoax. I don't worry about Jesus. He doesn't affect my life. I'm going to go on the way I was. I'm going to pretend Jesus doesn't make any difference. I know it sounds hard, but Jesus is saying that is much of our human nature. And he uses the example of this strange parable about an unfaithful and dishonest steward who actually gets praised because he thought of, what am I going to do? I got no job now. What am I going to do? He gets praised by the owner for being clever. And Jesus says to us, you're really, really clever when your feet are held to the fire. That's your human nature. You can talk yourself out of stuff. You can throw somebody else under the bus. You can do whatever you want. When you're in trouble, we come up with all these clever things. One of the things we do is lie. I had this little statistic I just saw, I still get my pediatric magazines, that said that over 50% of everybody lies at least once a day. Once a day. So it's once a day that people, that average, more than 50% of the people lie once a day. So we'll do all kinds of things, and that's what Jesus is recognizing. And he's saying, you can't be clever with God. Because God knows what's going on. But that's more, and Jesus says a lot more in this strange parable. He warns us. He says, don't pay so much attention to what's important that you forget what's essential. Don't pay so much attention to what's important that you forget what's essential. He says, how much of our day do we spend on important things, our work, ourselves? He said that we're really clever about those things. We're determined, we're focused, we will pay attention to those things. We'll either be ruthless sometimes to get what we want at work and ourselves, but the essential things, our family and our God, we forget them, and we don't give them the same energy and the same vigor that we give our worldly things. And that's what Jesus is warning us today. He said, don't let the important things interfere with the essential things. One of the things that will tell you where you are in this story is looking at your calendar and looking at how you spend money. If people were to look at your calendar and how you spent your money, what would I be able to say? You did it in important things, or did you do it with essential things that you needed to do? I often think about Black Friday. That's the Friday that's right after right after Thanksgiving. And you hear about it on the radio. People are coming at 5 o'clock in the morning. They're camping out at the stores. Imagine if Good Friday was as good as Black Friday. And that's what Jesus is saying. You're so good at Black Friday. You come up with all these clever things to do, sales, everything else. Why don't you do that with God? That's what this whole parable is about. He also gives us a second warning. Don't wait. Don't say, I'll wait, I'll do this, I'll go to church later, I'll figure this out later, I'll talk to God later. Don't wait. Everybody knows what they say when you're dead. They won't say, I wish I had gone to more meetings. I wish I had spent more time on my computer. That's not what's going to be said. And Jesus, even back then, is recognizing, don't wait with your time for God. Don't wait with the time for your family. Sit down and have that talk instead of getting up and getting something else to do. Don't forget that little crayon picture that your kids drew for you. Pay attention to it, to what's going on. And he gives us a final warning that's probably the strangest one of all. This is what he says, if you remember. He says, for the children of this world are more prudent, and I'll say clever, in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. That's a specific warning to us, not the world, to us. We are the children of light. Bluntly, Jesus is saying, stop cheating God. Spend more time with the things that are essential, not just the things that are important. And I thought about that. Why do we find it easy to cheat God? And I decided it's because we've lost the fact that there's something else. We've lost the fact in our minds that our final purpose is to be with God. Myself, I've always worried in my life, and I don't know where it comes from. I grew up in 8 kids, so I never had a lot of stuff, and maybe that's where it comes from. I always figured and worried that I would be destitute, that for some reason I would be homeless, out in the street, never have anything. So I'm not a hoarder of things, but I did collect Alan Edmonds shoes. I heard Father Grohol did too, so maybe that's his spirit in me. But every year with my wife, when they had the tent sale, she had, go buy yourself a pair of shoes, because I looked forward to it. So I must have about 20, well, I don't have that many, but maybe 15. I got them in a big box. I hardly ever look at them because I don't wear them anymore. But that was, to me, that was like my belief in what I was doing, and I thought I would be destitute, and for some reason, if I was going to be homeless, at least I'd be wearing Alan Edmonds shoes. But I had trouble with this simple phrase, and I still do now, God will provide. One of the reasons why we have trouble giving God the essentials and paying to the essentials is we don't believe God will provide. And although I've seen everything, I mean, I used to have a great house, I have no house now. I used to drive around in a Cadillac, I don't drive around in a Cadillac anymore. I don't care anymore. But I always thought I needed to take care of what I needed. I didn't believe God will provide. We got 1/3 of the year left. I want you to think about the essentials in your life and pay as much attention. That's what Jesus, it's not saying don't pay attention to important things. He's just saying give God his due. Give God what he deserves. Pay the same attention that you do to the important things as you do to God, and you'll go to heaven. So we got 1/3 of the year left to do that. Try in your lives to, in a difficult situation, to say and believe God will provide. Just do that. God will provide. And see what happens in your lives. Don't have it when you die. Somebody's going to up here and say a eulogy that says, he was a really important person. He did all the important things right. He just forgot about the essential things.